Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a very special episode of Gym Class All-Stars. We thought one episode wasn't good enough this week. We're going to give you two, and we're going to do something very near and dear to our hearts, which is March Madness. Before we begin, as we tell you every week, we are sponsored by Viget, the best free-to-play sports betting app on the App Store, on Google Play. Look, folks, if you haven't signed up for it yet, they're literally giving away thousands of dollars of prizes for March Madness. And guess what? You don't have to pay for it. They're literally being stupid. They're giving you free money. It is costing you not to sign up. So go to the App Store, download it, use All-Stars as your promotional code. Help us out and go out there and win $500, $200, $100. There are tons of different prizes. Go out there, have some fun, and enjoy your March. Robbie, this is a special place in my heart because this is basically how we met. We both did my little bracket challenge freshman year of high school. So we've been there, we've done that. It seems like every time you and I do a back and forth March Madness pool, I will beat you. But then for some reason, you're in some random pool that you always seem to win that is like $300 worth of prizes. And mine's like 10 bucks. So good on you.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, it's no secret that basketball is a pillar of our friendship. Met at the freshman basketball tryout, blossomed here in March Madness. Is lots of great things happen in March. We know that. And this, just the madness, one of it, super excited. You know, if you don't have cable, you don't have ESPN, this is exactly where you want to be. So, man, so much comes in March, like I said. But before we get into the teams and all the specifics that's going to come down to each individual matchup, I want to go through my own keys to a successful tournament run that all or any team needs to have a deep run. Number one, first and foremost, you have to be a consistent free throw shooting team. We see it every year. The last 30 seconds of games get stretched and stretched into 10, 15 minutes. If you can't score the basketball with the clock stopped in a late game, you're not going to go deep in this tournament. Lots of teams have players and big men that struggle shooting free throws. Those guys, you either have to trust that they can hit them or get them off the court in that situation, because hitting free throws is vital. Second key to a successful tournament run, energy on the defensive end. You're in the point of the best 68 teams in college basketball, more or less. All of these teams should be good defensive teams. So it is not any news when ESPN and all these guys are reporting that these are good defensive teams. Everybody is. You have to have energy that separates you. You have to be able to block shots, create steals and turnovers without sending the other team to the line. So important to play at a high energy while still being careful. Third key, veteran leadership. It doesn't mean everything, but having guys that have been there in the system, they know what to do and where players need to be, absolutely vital. And the last and final key is the nitty-gritty. You got to get the loose balls. You got to fight on the glass. You got to do the stuff that doesn't show up in the box score, because this is the time. If the other team isn't going to do it, you have to. This is not just about late game heroics. It's about a team winning a championship. All right. Those are my keys to a successful tournament run here. Now, to start getting into the bracket here, you know, it always looks like that the number one seed should win, but this may be not necessarily one of those years, despite nothing really horrible for the first round, though. But some of these one seeds, they have some tough paths. So what are your thoughts on the upper seeds here in the first round or two?
It's always tempting to pick the one seed because you've seen them be so dominant this year. Gonzaga is undefeated. Baylor, up until the very end, was undefeated as well. Michigan got super hot right until the end. And Illinois is red hot when it comes to just how dominant they've been. But some of these brackets and some of these sides are absolutely disgusting in terms of matchups. Like, there are some tough ones to pick. And maybe we're just going to be dead wrong. Maybe some of these matchups are going to be absolute blowouts, but on paper, they are tough to pick. So we'll get to that in a bit. But let's start off with just the general sort of question. Robbie, are any of the one seeds going to lose in the first round?
You know, you have to think about this question these days after the legendary UMBC game over Virginia. But no, we're not going to see anybody losing in the first round as a one seed, at least. Again, it happened once in history in both men's and women's. It doesn't happen. I wouldn't expect it. I wouldn't predict it. If it does happen, you will not be alone in having missed this pick. So you're not really losing all too many points at this point in the game. Same with the two seeds. The only one that I really think could go potentially poorly for the upper seed would be the Iona-Alabama game, just because Iona has that great coach in Patino. But at the end of the day, the ones and twos seem relatively safe for the first round. Second round could be a very, very different story based off matchups. But for that first round, I think those guys should all be safe.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. It has only happened once in men's and once in women's. I don't foresee it happening this year. Granted, we're not mind readers. We're not genies. We can't predict the future. But I think it's safe to say if you pick a one seed to win the first round, you should be okay.
Yes.
So I guess we're going to get into this Herculean task that we've laid out for ourselves because we just love doing this. Let's start with the West. So Gonzaga is the one seed in this portion of the bracket. We're going to start with the first round. I have Gonzaga winning in the first round. Hot take, dare I say.
it's a risky one, but I appreciate it. No, Gonzaga. Okay, so looking at this portion of the bracket, staying on the top half here, like it's clear that Gonzaga is the favorite for at least the first few rounds. I mean, honestly, I have them going relatively far. I have them going very far, but undefeated regular season, they have to be the favorite for the first few rounds until they play a more like higher caliber team like a Virginia or a Kansas. Maybe Creighton, if Creighton can make it that far, they're kind of going to breeze past. This Oklahoma-Missouri matchup isn't necessarily anything terrifying for them in the second round. And again, they have all their all-stars. They have three guys up for the National Player of the Year. They're no team to be trifled with. The more interesting stuff for me comes below that Gonzaga matchup. It's can Oklahoma or Missouri make any noise? But the bigger story, 5-12, 4-13 here. I think it's very possible we get a 12 versus 13 matchup in the second round here. I know a lot of people have Virginia going far, and I actually do have them in the Sweet 16. But Creighton and USCB are actually very similarly built basketball teams and both have high caliber offensive guards. And Virginia, they're going to be missing some parts of their staff and a couple of players on their bench. Who knows how much that could impact when, again, Ohio is going to be playing like this is the one and only game they get to play this tournament. So I want to know what you thought about a potential double-seeded second round or two double-digit seeds playing in the second round.
This one is definitely intriguing. First and foremost, the Creighton-USCB game or UCSB game, it's either going to go two ways. Either Creighton absolutely blows the brakes off of UCSB or UCSB wins a really close game. And I'm only saying that because Creighton got absolutely decimated by Georgetown in the Big East Championship. It's going to depend how they come back and sort of be like, okay, how do we respond to this? And to me, I tend to lean more toward UCSB winning a very close game. The UVA-Ohio one. Yes, I know UVA has a bit of injuries, but to me, it is so tempting to pick UVA because I really do think they'd make it to the Sweet 16. So I'm going to say we have a 12 seed winning and we have Virginia beating Ohio. But granted, Ohio is probably going to keep it close. And if you just bet exclusively off spreads, I'd probably pick Ohio to cover the spread. I think it's going to be a very close game.
I think you're right in what that second round matchup is probably going to be. The big thing about UC Santa Barbara is the fact that they have not played a single team that nets in the top 75 college basketball teams. Again, none of these things that I'm going to kind of spill out mean everything, but they're worthy of taking note that they haven't played any high caliber teams, but also could be to their advantage that no high caliber team has gotten to play them and see what they're like in that situation. I think they're going to surprise Creighton. And again, I talked about it last week. I'm kind of low on Creighton. Zagorowski, I think, is a little bit overrated as a good player. The Virginia-Ohio matchup, the thing is Ohio has this dude, Jason Preston, he's averaging 16-7-7. He's just this do-it-all star that they have. And he's like a 2-3 kind of guy. And that's just that one weird position that Virginia does in fact struggle to guard because their best players are guards and bigs. Sam Hauser, though, I think is going to dominate this matchup enough to the point where Virginia is going to win. I have Virginia going to play Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. I have them losing to Gonzaga there, but it's more so out of the fact that I think it's just a kind of weak portion of the bracket. I think it was almost meant for Gonzaga to go far because a lot of people are going to have them going far. This is not really discredit to Virginia, but I almost begrudgingly have them going to my Sweet 16.
you can't not pick the, I guess, defending champion, though, in this case.
It's true. And an elite offense when they're fully healthy. The big thing about this portion of this Western portion of the bracket, though, Gonzaga has defeated 2-seeded Iowa, 3-seeded Kansas, and 4-seeded Virginia this season, all by double digits. So when I say Gonzaga is the clear and heavy favorite in this portion of the bracket, I'm not just saying that. It is straight fact at this point. But let's take a look at that bottom half of the West here. So you really like Drake, who's in that playing game with Wichita State. I assume you're going to have them winning that. Do you have them beating USC as well then?
You know, we talked about this pre-show, and I really want to pick Drake to beat USC. But you did mention that they are injured. That definitely is something to take into consideration. I think for betting, especially, taking Drake to cover is something that's very enticing, and I probably will do that. But I don't think – even if you pick Drake to win in the first round or you pick USC, I don't think either team is going to get past a healthy Kansas, because I think Kansas will roll over the 14 seed they're playing. I could be dead wrong. Kansas has had some issues with either COVID or injuries in the past, but I really think Kansas will make it to the Sweet 16 out of that matchup. The bottom half, I think I know you want to be so pessimistic about Iowa so that way you won't have your feelings crushed. I think Iowa win their first round, dare I say. Jeez. You know, I'm going to go with VCU beating Oregon. And I know it's a little bit of a hot take, but we got to go to our former basketball coach who'd always make fun of Pac-12 defense.
Yep.
Got to play more Big East ball. I know VCU is in the Big East, but like that different brand of basketball, a little bit of chip on their shoulder. And VCU always makes noise during March Madness. So I think I'm going to take them. I think Iowa, dare I say, will win that matchup. I know you begrudgingly want to say that. After that, though, who does Iowa play?
Yeah.
Is it Kansas?
That's the big thing. So Kansas would be the most likely team in this top portion of that, like of that little bit of it here. You know, I have Kansas playing USC. The big negative on USC is they are the worst free throw shooting team. I don't know if they're percentage wise, but they are one of the worst free throw shooting teams in this tournament. They have just one player shooting above 70% from the free throw line. That is horrendous. I could see them beating Kansas, though, because Evan Mobley is something Kansas can't guard, and that's a dominant center. But if they were to face Iowa, I think Iowa would run them over, because Luka Garza is just better than Evan Mobley at this point, and that's just fact. My concern with Iowa, it really lies with matchups at this point, because they actually do have a relatively clear path to the Elite Eight. But as their little description says, they have a high ceiling, but they also have a very low floor. I think if VCU beats Oregon, that is the path where they go to at least the Sweet 16. And I think they could get past Kansas. I think they're better than Kansas. But Oregon poses a different threat. Oregon has these two guards named Chris Durante and pardon if I mispronounce his name, but Eugene Omoyori, who both average just a click under 17 points per game. And that is the biggest thing Iowa struggles to do, is guard guards. Jordan Bohannon can't do it. Wieskamp is not known for his defense. We play the 2-3 zone. The ball movement from those two star guards is going to collapse the zone, getting Oregon open shots. They're a great three-point shooting team, a spectacular free throw shooting team. If Luka is unable to establish himself against this small ball type team, because they really play a forward at center, that's where Iowa struggles. And that's where I don't know if they'd be able to keep up with those high scoring guards.
Yeah. Kansas to me is the biggest question mark in this portion, because just so much has been predicated on whether it's injury, sickness. You know, they could quite frankly get kicked out of the tournament. Like, it could happen within the next 2 days. Yeah. Like, who knows? But a fully healthy Kansas team is extremely scary. And I do think Kansas versus Iowa would result in Kansas going to the Elite Eight. I think in the end, our consensus is, I think this is Gonzaga's portion to lose.
Yeah.
There hasn't been an undefeated team since Kentucky a few years ago. And that Kentucky team, if I'm not mistaken, lost in the Final Four.
Yes, I believe they lost to Frank Kaminsky's Wisconsin team.
Yes, I did win that bracket challenge, because I did, for some reason, take Wisconsin to go to the Final Four. But nice. That's what I'm getting at. So I think that about covers it. I think the matchups to be concerned about are those 4 and 5s. The VCU Oregon one is interesting, but that comes into play after the fact. Any final thoughts about the West?
It's the idea that Iowa and Kansas, they both can make the Elite Eight. They both could really blow it. It's all going to be about who they play and how they're playing that day. Kansas, they absolutely need to keep COVID under control if they want to stay in this. Iowa just re-signed Fran, so hopefully Fran's got a little magic, but I'm a little skeptical here. But yeah, like you said, Gonzaga's portion to lose. So let's move down here. Let's go stay on the left side of the bracket here to the east. That is so Michigan, who is technically the worst, lowest one seed. And to me, this is the portion of the bracket that is the most wide open. I don't have the like, this is not my portion of the bracket where I have the lowest seeds winning, but man, Michigan, just like Iowa, I think could lose in the second round or go all the way to the Elite Eight. And I took the inverse that I did with Iowa with Michigan here. I took them to the Elite Eight, but that potential second round matchup against LSU is terrifying. I talked about them in our episode a couple of days ago about how LSU has this big three, how they really have some veteran guys that can play well. Javonte Smart was on their team when they went to the Sweet 16 in the last tournament alongside Trey Waters. They can play. They could really pose a threat to Michigan. And if Isaiah Livers is still out for that game, which he very well could be, depth is not a strength of Michigan. They only play 7 to 8 players. If you're cutting that down even further, LSU has a real shot there.
Yeah, and that's kind of the scary matchup where Michigan should win their first round game, but LSU, that is the worst 8 matchup you probably want. Right. And even then, like, let's say LSU does not win their first round matchup. They got to play St. Bonaventure. That is also a scary matchup that no one is talking about.
Correct. So
Michigan got the short end of the stick when it came to a second round matchup. I'm going to have to say LSU is going to win their first round matchup, but oh boy, if you're a Michigan fan, Robbie, that's a rough second round matchup.
It is. It really is. Because again, LSU, they just got these guys that have been here and they know what they're doing. The thing is, if Michigan is able to survive LSU, this is another 4 or 5 seed that is relatively unimpressive. I never tend to take Florida State far in the tournament because they usually bite me in the ass. They're usually just a bunch of long athletic dudes who can play basketball really well, but don't always play basketball really well. They don't have a perennial star that really struck out to me. So I actually have them losing in the second round to Colorado, but Colorado also doesn't pose too much of a threat to Michigan, in my opinion. They're essentially just a slightly worse version of Michigan, in my opinion. So again, if Michigan is able to survive LSU, which is their toughest task at this point, that's their path to the Elite Eight. I don't have them coming out of this portion of the bracket, though. And as we move to the bottom here, I think Bama could do it. I have Texas actually doing it. A sleeper here, though, I have UConn beating Bama. And I also think that if they got hot enough and can stay healthy, they could pose a legitimate threat to Michigan as well if things go their way. I'm trying to find their best player who just came back. I believe it is James Boatknight. There it is. A National Player of the Year candidate, came back late in the season and really turned it on for this UConn team. Not a team to be trifled with.
I just want to say, I know we're talking about the bottom half, but I would just like to say Georgetown just get the brakes blown off them by Colorado. I know nothing about them, but I just know they're going to get blown out. Just a forethought.
They won their conference championship, and that's why they're here.
It was a feel-good moment, but right now I think that's kind of the end for them. I got to say, though, that playing game, UCLA-Michigan State, I know we talked about it. It's kind of disgusting. I think whoever wins that game wins their first-round matchup. I know that's purely name recognition, but I just think UCLA or Michigan State could win against a team like BYU. Like, they've been there, they've done that. Not to say BYU hasn't, but it really does help having that sort of mentality that you've been there and you can easily roll over some teams.
Yeah, I think they definitely could. I don't think either will, though, just because I think they both Michigan State and UCLA had underwhelming years. Neither of them really have two highlight of players, and BYU is a basketball school. They play very sound fundamental basketball there. I definitely see the door open there for the 11 seed upset. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, I got BYU in that situation. Neither UCLA nor Michigan State scares me any more than that name recognition that you brought up there.
I would also like to say Alabama-Iona, that's a scary first-round matchup. I think Alabama will win, but I really do think Iona will cover. I think that game is going to be extremely close. If Alabama wins their first-round matchup, I don't think they'll lose to UConn. I know kind of this goes against what I was just saying with Blue Bloods. UConn, to me, though, has kind of fallen off over the past few years, ever since they won with Shabazz Napier. I don't remember. Shabazz. Yeah. If you ever think in life that you have imposter syndrome, just remember Shabazz Napier has two NCAA titles. Just remember that.
The Heat drafted him assuming it would help keep LeBron, and LeBron literally left that offseason.
LeBron left because they drafted Shabazz Napier. That's my hot take of the day. Texas, though, scary team. We've talked about them a ton. I think it's hard to pick Michigan to win this portion of the bracket. While I do think they have a possibility, like if they beat LSU, they should be a shoe-in for the Elite Eight. I don't see them losing to Colorado, FSU. Even if Georgetown makes the Cinderella runs of Cinderella runs, I don't foresee that being a problem. I have Michigan going to the Elite Eight. I think they're going to run into Texas.
I agree.
And, oh boy.
Yeah. That is one of the toughest matchups that could potentially happen in the Elite Eight here. I, as big of a Michigan fan as I am, actually have Texas winning this game. First off, Texas is one of those just extremely hot teams coming into the tournament, won almost all of their last games to end the season. And they have these three guys. They got these two playmakers in Courtney Ramsey and Matt Coleman, who I talked about in their in the championship game they played where he had 30. And then this sharpshooter Jace Ferbs that came back in the end of the regular season and has really shot the ball well for them. Like I said, shooting is an absolutely vital portion of a successful run, and this is a team that can absolutely do it. Michigan can also shoot. Their concerns in the A lies in the health and, you know, throughout the tournament, and B, consistency is something they lack, is that they can shoot the three really well, but they also have, you know, they're in their losses, their few losses, but they didn't shoot the ball very well in those games.
You know, I think that game is a toss up. If Michigan can make it to Elite Eight, they got to get through. The only matchup I'm concerned about with Michigan is they have to beat the winner of LSU and St. Bonaventure. Yep. If they win that, they're a shoo-in for Elite Eight, in my opinion. Texas, to me, has a tougher matchup. They got to go through either BYU. They got to win their first round matchup. I'm not trying to say it's a shoo-in win, but they have to beat BYU or Michigan State, UCLA, one of those three teams. They're then going to have to play probably Alabama, if not maybe UConn, which I think both teams would play them close. So that's more of a longevity type thing if they're going to be tired and sort of worn down from it. But, you know, I'm kind of torn between Michigan or Texas. When in doubt, this is a great tip for all my listeners. Always pick the team with the cooler logo. We're going Longhorns, baby. Final Four.
All right, there it is. They always say sometimes a random decision can honestly be easier than trying to make an insightful decision. In this case, that really could be with a potential Michigan-Texas matchup. So, yeah, I also have Texas at this point. So on the left side coming into my Final Four, I have Gonzaga and Texas. I believe you're at the same boat at this point.
I think overall we're in the same boat. This is just my first reaction to it. I'm probably going to create 30 brackets that will range from Creighton winning it all to Gonzaga just destroying everyone. But what I'm getting at is right now we are in consensus for the most part. So to our viewers, don't pick our brackets because they're probably going to lose.
I will say, though, I'm a little upset we didn't get the Michigan versus Appalachian State first round matchup. I think that would have been hilarious.
Oh, it would have been so much disrespect.
That would have been the only situation I picked the 16 seed to win. Anybody who doesn't watch college football, catch up on history. All right, so we're going to move over here now. Top right south portion of the bracket. This is the bracket where I expect the most chaos to go down. I have a 4 seed and a 6 seed in the Elite Eight. I have a 6 seed in the Final Four. Let's start at the top here. Baylor in my opinion, is the weakest one seed for the sake of Baylor always does terribly come March. This is I don't remember the last time Baylor made a deep tournament run, and they just constantly find ways to struggle. And at the end of the year was when they lost their only two games of the season. Again, only two losses is not major, but like the fact that it happened at the end shows that teams are slowly starting to figure out how to beat this team.
Robbie, this bracket is disgusting. Oh my goodness. Okay. Dare I say, Baylor won their first round matchup. The second matchup either being North Carolina or Wisconsin. Okay. I am going to side with Wisconsin here. I am a Duke fan, ride or die. So I am going to side with the Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker team. And they're not there anymore. We're going to go Wisconsin beats UNC. Okay.
You really made me want to not root for Wisconsin, but I also have Wisconsin beating UNC.
You're just mad that I won because I picked Wisconsin.
I hate Sam run. Decker. And to anybody from my work listening, this is not the Sammy Decker we work with. Completely different person. But I hate the Wisconsin Sam Decker.
I find it hard to believe that Baylor wouldn't get to the Sweet 16, though. I don't think Wisconsin would have the ability to upset them. And I know I just was so high on Wisconsin, but I think they'll make it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's, again, that 8-9 matchup, whoever they do end up playing, like, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be close. It may not be like a single, like a 1 or 2 point game, but it very well is going to be a single digit game that Baylor is going to have to fight and grind through.
Right. The bottom, next half.
Yeah, no. So we got, okay. So a team that I've constantly been saying to avoid, Villanova, they got a tough first round matchup in a one loss Winthrop team that just runs and guns. And for a team lacking their starting point guard and playmaker and their best shooter, I think Villanova is going to get like if there's a 12 seed, that's going to blow out a 5 seed. This is the matchup. I have Winthrop. And then right below that, I have Purdue, and we're going to mark Purdue because I got them going far.
It's tough because I almost want to pick the inverse of that. I almost want to pick Nova versus who's UNT? Is that a University of
North Texas? They're technically the worst team in the bracket.
So about that pick I just made. It's so tempting to say Winthrop will beat Nova, but you know the run and gun style. They have one loss. You said
yes. They're 23-1.
This is annoying because this is exactly what I was saying before with you have these at-large bids versus conference winners. How does that matchup actually become functional? I'm going to go with Nova. I trust Jay Wright to figure it out. That's probably the Pennsylvania bias in me. I'm going to say Nova figures it out. And I'm also going to say Purdue will beat the worst team in the tournament as much as I want to just be the inverse. I'm going to say that's a 4-5 though. However, Winthrop, Nova, Winthrop, just pick the over. Just pick the over.
I had Nova winning that matchup at first glance, but then I looked really into Winthrop a little bit, and I learned that they're just kind of that 7 seconds offense type team, and I was like, oh, they might just, like, blow the heels off of
the 7-second offense does not work, dare I say. I know it's not sustainable.
It's more of an exaggeration. It's more of just, like, they like to get shots fast. And yeah, I mean, this is another spot where we could have a 12-13 because Purdue is one of those teams that they could blow it early or they could make a deep run there. The big thing about Purdue is they're the biggest team in March Madness, meaning that the rebounding, the shot blocking is huge. Not the best free throw shooting team. So despite that, I do have them going really far, though. I think they match up well against Baylor. I think in a close, like, free throw shooting game, they'll lose. But if they can make Baylor – like, they're a good defensive team. So if they can make Baylor – you know, take some off balance shots, be a little bit uncomfortable on that end, kind of shake up that high caliber offense, which we've seen be able to do in the last few weeks here. I think that's the first spot where I really see Baylor having a chance to lose earlier than the Final Four.
I think Purdue will make it out of that little section. Cause I think if they play Winthrop or Nova, I think Purdue would beat either team just from the way they play and maybe slowing it down versus a run and gun offense of Winthrop. I think they have maybe the more talent and more depth compared to Nova at this point, just because they're decimated injuries. Yeah, Purdue to me seems like that's kind of the matchup that's going to stare Baylor in the face that could potentially prevent them getting Elite Eight. So I'd have to agree with you on that portion. The lower half.
The lower half is nuts.
Jesus.
So let's look at this for a second. Let's look at those first two matchups in the second half here. So it's Texas Tech and Utah State. We love Texas Tech. You've been talking very highly of them. I, like I said, have them in my final four. I think they're so good. But Utah State is no first-round matchup to look over because they have a very, very quality system built there. They played good basketball down the stretch, and Texas Tech is a double-digit loss team this year. This is one of those really scary decisions because, like I said, I have Texas Tech going really far, but I still also see the world – where they lose that first round matchup. The other thing, Arkansas, that three seed, they are maybe the hottest team coming into March Madness at this point. But I have Texas Tech beating them. So those two matchups to start, what do you got here?
Listen, I don't think this will actually happen, but there is a remote possibility that Colgate could beat Arkansas. And I know that's like goes against everything you just said, but as a Patriot League aficionado, Colgate's also pretty hot right now. I don't foresee them actually winning overall, but to any person betting, spread Colgate, I think that hits probably 80% of the time. I think that's a pretty good bet. You know, we are high on Texas Tech. Something tells me, though, I'm actually going to say I think Texas Tech and Arkansas for the 32 – I'm going to say Arkansas pulls out, like a close kind of game, like something Texas Tech would cover in. But I do think Arkansas is actually going to make it to the Sweet 16. You said they're hot. I tend to agree with that. Texas Tech, while they're quite good, they tend to lose very close games. They lost to Texas in the Big 12 tournament. They've kind of done it all year. They're a great team, very well put together. That's an intriguing matchup. I'm going to say Arkansas kind of is a sleeper in this case just from the – lack of name recognition.
Yeah, no, I have written down here, like, the big red flag on Arkansas is the fact that they're Arkansas. Like, yeah, they don't have much name recognition. So they could honestly, as a three seed, fly under the radar a little bit. My big thing for Texas Tech is they're one of those oddly complete small ball teams. They have, obviously, Mac McClug is their go-to scorer, the transfer. He's a spectacular player. They got the young guy in Terrence Shannon Jr., who's going to be a shoo-in next year to be a top pick in the draft. Kyler Edwards, another guard that they like to play a lot. And then Marcus Santos Silva has really started to develop himself as their really one big guy on the court, essentially, topping double-digit rebounds in the last four games of the season. He is really trying to give them that interior presence that they lacked for parts of the season. And that's something I don't know if Arkansas is going to be able to create, because I think Arkansas is one of those teams that could also be a little too hot for their own good. Again, not having that much experience here in the situation, maybe slipping up. But either way, that is going to be just, like, again, one of the tougher matchups to pick, one of the best matchups maybe in the whole tournament. Take a step down here. 7-seed Florida, 10-seed Virginia Tech. Florida, they lost their star at the beginning of the year, Keyshawn Johnson. Thankfully, he's back. He's not back, but he is healthy, thankfully. Not playing, though, but they were able to turn in a pretty good season even without their star, a 7-seed. However, Virginia Tech is just one of those schools that I really, really like. I think they play very solid basketball. They're very well coached. I have them coming on top in that first round matchup.
I was actually going to say the same thing, you know, between the karma from the guy in Florida elbowing the Tennessee player. I think Virginia Tech, this is a tough matchup. However, what I will say though, if Florida wins, I think Florida has the best chance of beating Ohio State, at least compared to VT. So, what do I go with here? I'm actually going to say Florida pulls out a win. I think it's probably like 7-8 point win. I'm going to say Florida makes it to the Sweet 16.
Wow. That's ballsy. I have Ohio State beating Virginia Tech, and then I have them losing to Texas Tech. The thing is though, so like I said, I have a four seed playing a six seed in the Elite Eight. What that really goes to prove is that this is completely open. But if we're talking about who's portion of the bracket this is to lose, I actually think it is Ohio State's. I know Baylor's the one seed, only two losses, and we talked about how Ohio State doesn't have like a go-to guy, but they're the best coached team, in my opinion, on this side of the bracket. They're the team with probably the most experience making later runs in March outside of the recent success that Texas Tech has had. I don't know. Like I said, I have them in the Sweet 16, but they feel like maybe at least the most complete team sub, in my opinion, Texas Tech.
Yeah, I always go with teams that do well in March Madness. Like, reason people don't pick Duke a lot of times is because they have this tendency to lose in the first round. Lehigh, Mercer, the list goes on and on. Florida seems to be that team that will upset teams. I don't know if you remember a few years ago, it was when Nova had won their championship the year prior. So this was 2017. Nova played Wisconsin. Wisconsin beat them. And it was Wisconsin, Florida. And that game, which would have been the Sweet 16, Florida, whoever it was, drains this incredible, miraculous three-point shot where he's running forward, kind of like Dwayne Wade did, you know, a few years ago. And I can't count on Florida. I really do think Florida is that team that is built to make deep tournament runs, whether it was the Al Horford-led team and Joakim Noah, you know, 15 years or so ago at this point, or even, you know, a few years ago. I think Florida, well, Ohio State is absolutely red hot. Be on the lookout for an upset with Florida.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see it. Florida, another program that's just so famous for being a team you do not want to play come March, come tournament time. Even as a top seed, they're always, when they're a top seed, they're a scary team. When they're a low seed, it's almost like having to play the Boston Celtics in the first round of the playoffs. It's like, do you really want that? Like, that's a scarier low seed. Okay. Well, so who do you have completely coming out of this part of the bracket?
I'm going to have to say Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they beat Texas Tech. They'll beat Florida, at least based on what I said. And then let's say an Arkansas-Purdue matchup. I think Purdue being built with big men is great, but then Arkansas kind of having that SEC mindset, that nitty-gritty defense, I think Arkansas can ride that wave of momentum to the Final Four.
All right. No, that's a good point. This is, however, the first point where we do differentiate. So,
it's good.
Alec, yeah, no, not the same bracket exactly here. So yeah. You got Arkansas coming out of the South. I have Texas Tech. One more portion here to go. That is the Midwest. Again, these portions are named as they normally would be played in these regions. Not how it's going to go this year, but either way, going to stick with the regional names just for the sake of it. So in the Midwest, before we even get into any individual matchups, just a general look at this portion of the bracket almost feels like it was, again, made for the one seed to just kind of coast. There are some good – it's different than Gonzaga because Gonzaga doesn't really have to play anybody decent till the Elite Eight, or like really decent till the Elite Eight. Illinois, it's like after – it's the Sweet 16 would be the first really tough game. Like that Georgia Tech Loyola Chicago game, it's not anything Illinois is going to sleep through, but like they're clearly better than both those two teams. But then you have the idea of honestly any of Tennessee, Oregon State, or Oklahoma State could make some noise there. And then the whole bottom portion is wide, wide open. But so on that top portion here, your thoughts on Illinois' chance against really any version of this mix up?
Yeah, do you think Drexel is going to pull off the upset, or, you know, Philly boys?
Play basketball games at some random old high school named Drexel.
Yeah, probably. No, Troxel.
Troxel, whatever.
Troxel, yeah. okay, I think Illinois is a shoo-in for the Sweet 16. Loyola Chicago or Georgia Tech will not dethrone them. Ah, boy. This one's tough. I don't know enough about either team this year. Loyola Chicago went on that miraculous Final Four run in 2018. Georgia Tech is Georgia Tech. I'm going to say Loyola Chicago wins just because Georgia Tech is just awful at sports now. The first time I ever watched March Madness was with my aunt, and it was like probably 2004. And all I remember was Georgia Tech is the Yellow Jackets. And I was like, what's a Yellow Jacket? Like, it's a B. I'm like, that's stupid. Even as a six-year-old, I thought that was stupid. So, I guess Loyola Chicago, we got Sister Jean. Is that her name?
I think so, yeah.
Is she still alive? Can we fact check that before I say anything? We're going to say she's alive. If she's not, well, then I'm going to get canceled. So, we're going to say Sister Jean prays for a first-round victory. Okay. While you look that up, I'm going to go to the next round. Tennessee, Oregon State, Oklahoma State, Liberty. The Oklahoma State Liberty matchup is so tempting to pick Liberty.
She lives.
Okay, good. I'm not getting canceled. This is great to hear. I would, every fiber of my being, what I've talked up about Oklahoma State wants me to pick Liberty to win this matchup.
I knew you would say that.
But I do, I can't justify a school like Liberty beating Cade Cunningham.
Thank you.
I just can't. Thank you. So I'm saying Oklahoma State rolls over Liberty. Tennessee, Oregon State. As much as I want to pick Oregon State for the name recognition, I don't like Oregon State had this miraculous win of the Pac-12, like utterly incredible, kind of like the Big East with Georgetown, but actually winning matchups. But boy, I have to say Tennessee is going to win that too.
All right, so I agree. Oklahoma State is going to blow Liberty out of the building. Tennessee, though, they really struggled with consistency of shooting the basketball this year and finished the season 8-7. Coupled with Oregon State getting hot right in the during the Pac-12 tournament and winning it, I think Oregon State is a shoo-in to win this game. I don't necessarily think they're the favorite in any way, but like I have them winning this game in the sake for the sake of their great free throw shooting team. And again, red hot, winning their tournament. Tennessee hasn't quite figured it out, put all the pieces together this year. I think they're going to fall off. However, I have Oklahoma State winning that second round matchup. So I would have a Sweet 16 date between Iowa and Illinois and Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State. And I essentially think that game would come down to Kofi Cockburn, because Io and Cade would more or less cancel each other out. And whatever impact Kofi has, which you assume will be positive, in my opinion, would be enough. That's kind of where Oklahoma State taps out, is that they really are just like, they're a good team, but they really are mostly just Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, I think that Sweet 16 matchup is probably going to happen. The problem with Oregon State, while they got red hot and Tennessee's been struggling with consistency, Oregon State got red hot, won their tournament. You know, you're playing back-to-back games. They've had a few days to cool off, per se, and that definitely does have an impact no matter what anyone says. So to me, I think Tennessee – I'm going to say Tennessee. I'm going to just add this gut feeling. I could be dead wrong, but regardless, I don't think any of those teams are going to beat Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Cade has at least two rounds under his belt. Again, this guy is going to more than likely be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, make a team very happy. So yeah, I think I'm with you there. Moving to the bottom portion here. So San Diego State is a team a lot of people are very high on. I have them losing round one to Syracuse. I actually have Syracuse all the way into my Sweet 16. They have this guard tandem of Buddy Boeheim and Alan Griffin, who can just light it up on offense. They can make plays. They can hit threes. And honestly, when it comes to a team like San Diego State, one of these smaller market teams, it's just like – not market teams, excuse me, smaller schools. I just feel like when they come up with a team like Syracuse, even in a year where they're not great, they just – but they know what they're doing. They play that solid 2-3 zone. And they're always just a name recognition type team. I think they're going to get almost a little intimidated. And I think Syracuse is going to be able to take that. And I really don't have much faith in a San Diego State. You know, they haven't made me seem like they have the next Kawhi Leonard yet. So I picked them. And then right below that, the 3 versus the 14, I have West Virginia winning, but it's only more so because Morehead State doesn't seem to be that great of a team. But West Virginia is not a team I'm super high on. I think teams have started to figure out like how this press works. Like, it's awesome that they're the team that does it and they're very, very good at forcing turnovers with it. But Syracuse, like I said, has those two good guards. And I think if you have two good, solid, smart ball handling guards, that's how you beat that zone. And I think that's why I have Syracuse going all the way to the Sweet 16.
You know, it's so easy to pick Syracuse though. Like, cause just the name recognition, like what if San Diego State just rips off a run? But it's the same deal. If, you know, a few years ago, Syracuse was an 11 seed and they got to the Final Four, if I'm not mistaken. So it honestly feels like the seed should be flipped. I'm also going to say Syracuse. Morehead State, like, whatever. I think West Virginia will win that. The bottom half, I think Rutgers is going to kill Clemson.
I completely agree. I don't think that's going to be close.
Maybe it's my spite for Clemson, but, like, go Rutgers. And then Houston's winning that.
Yeah.
Houston is winning their first round matchup. I think Houston is a dangerous team to deal with. And I'm going to say Houston gets the Sweet 16 out of there. You know, people are probably going to hate on West Virginia, but also Jim Boeheim. I'm going to say Houston, Syracuse. And that's going to be such a popular pick from people. But I don't think West Virginia is that good. I'm going to say Houston, Syracuse, and then the top will be Oklahoma State, Illinois.
So we're exactly the same there. We're almost exactly the same for this portion of the bracket. Who do you have winning each of those two games? Let's start there.
Well, I think, like you said, I think Illinois is unstoppable. They're red hot. So I'm going to say they go to Elite Eight. Houston, same deal where they are absolutely red hot. They're lighting it up. I think where we differ, I think that matchup could go either way. I think Houston's going to pull it out, maybe because of fatigue from Illinois after playing the Kay Cunningham-led Oklahoma State team. But I think Houston is going to be able to pull it off. I think overall they have an easier road to the Final Four compared to Illinois. Like, I think Illinois, they're round of 64, fine. Round of 32, probably fine. That 16 matchup, though, is probably going to take a bit of a toll on them. And while they may have some time to rest, like, Houston has their first-round matchup in the bag, I'm pretty sure. They'll play a Rutgers team, which could be a little scrappy, but I think they'll beat them. And then you're playing most likely either West Virginia, Syracuse, and maybe San Diego State. I just think, other than Syracuse, I don't think those are going to be tough matchups.
I think you're right. I think they absolutely have the easier portion. And I think that may be where the discourse comes against Illinois, because Illinois will already have to get into the mindset of, we got to kind of dig, start playing our very best basketball, where Houston will be able to kind of coast a little bit. Their star player, though, Quentin Grimes, is one of the best shot creators in all of college basketball. He is not to be trifled with. But again, I think we may run into this situation of where he and Io kind of cancel each other out and Kofi ends up being the difference maker. That's the big thing. When you have two National Player of the Year candidates, if one of them is being canceled out by the other team's best player, you more than likely have the third best player in the matchup. That's kind of where I see Illinois in most of these matchups. And that's why I have them as my representative for the Final Four out of the Midwest. Fair enough. If I'm not mistaken, your Final Four is Gonzaga, Texas, Arkansas, and Houston.
Yep.
And so I have Gonzaga, Texas, Texas Tech, and Illinois. Prediction for a national champion.
Jesus. Every fiber of my being wants to take Texas, but I'm going to say Zaga. I think they have to go to the finals. Do I say Houston and be like a baller? I'm going to say Houston. I think Houston, Arkansas, I think Houston would win that.
Okay. And the national champions are?
Why do I? It appears, I must say, Gonzaga. Well, actually, I'm going to go back. We're going to backtrack a bit. I'm going to say Texas gets to the finals, because I think Texas, Houston, that Red River rivalry will just run deep. And I love the way that's set up. I'm going to say Houston wins it all.
All right. Okay. That's ballsy. And I like that, especially because if anywhere close to that championship happens, you're going to win whatever pool you're in.
I will decimate everyone.
Yeah. I have Gonzaga in the national championship. Again, with just how good their roster is, it's so hard to bet against them. I know that means that, you know, they kind of have that target on their back because of it. But at the end of the day, they have, I think, one of the easiest paths to the Final Four. Michigan, Texas, Alabama, whoever they end up playing out of the East, I do think they're going to handle. I think it's going to be the best, most competitive game they've played to that point. I think Illinois is going to run the gates off of Texas Tech. I think that's where they really bottom out if they hadn't already. I think Texas Tech has to be playing their best basketball to get to the Final Four. And if they get to that point, they're going to be a little too tired. Illinois obviously has to be playing their best basketball as well, but they should have that next level that they can get to that Texas Tech doesn't quite have. And then in the championship between the 2-1 seeds of Illinois and Gonzaga, I'm going with the Fighting Illini. Again, I am so high on Io DeSunmu. I think he should be a top 10 pick in the draft. And Kofi Cockburn is the closest physical presence we've seen to Shaq in college basketball in a very long time. Not saying he is Shaq. Don't get that twisted. But physically speaking, 7 feet, 285, the dude is a dominant presence inside. And if he's hitting late game free throws, which he was during the end of the Big Ten tournament, Illinois is going to be very difficult to beat. Again, I said it last year, they were ready for the tournament, even though it didn't get to happen. And that just carried over to this year. Illinois is my pick to win the national championship.
I think for anyone listening, you should definitely do two brackets in whatever pool. You should definitely do mine, because if mine hits, you're winning everything. No problem. No questions asked. Robbie's is definitely the smarter, more researched pick, but it also is March Madness for a reason. It's one and done. And the wild thing is, every fiber of my being wants to be like, yeah, Gonzaga is going to get there, or Illinois. And I completely understand where you're coming from. Like, you've seen enough basketball to know that these people on their teams are absolute studs. But we see years where just literal madness happens. I think that's the beauty of it. We're going to be excited to see these upsets. Like, that's the whole point of it. Obviously, the bracket matters. Obviously, winning money is cool. But to me, just the idea of seeing a 13 beat a 4, like, that's, it's something special. And that's
the best stuff. 100% agree with you.
It starts, well, the playing games start on Thursday. So yeah, I guess
so we're going to get all four playing games Thursday, I believe.
Do you want to just quick run through those? Norfolk, yeah, or Appalachian State?
I got Appalachian State for the sake of it.
Might as well. Wichita or Drake?
I'll go with you. I'll go Drake. With Drake despite the injuries. Wichita State 0-4 to end the season. Not a pretty way to get in.
Michigan State, UCLA.
I pick UCLA every year they're going to play in game, and they always bite me in the ass. However, I'm going to stick with it until it goes well for me. So I'm going to say UCLA because I hate Michigan State.
I'm going to say Michigan State because I usually will pick them as like a sleeper, a quote unquote sleeper team to win. And they, for the most part, do pretty well.
They do.
Texas Southern and
versus Texas Southern. Who you got?
Well, I had a pretty solid theme of yeehaw in this bracket, so we might as well go with Texas Southern here.
I was saying the same thing. I got two Texas teams in my final four. I might as well take Texas Southern to get their asses blown off by Michigan.
Yep.
All right. So we've seen crazy stuff happen in March Madness. We've seen 16 seeds beat 1 seed, 15 seeds go to the Sweet 16. We've seen an 8 seed play a 7 seed in the national championship. That was that lovely Shabazz Napier year we were talking about. Anything can happen. This is us giving our best guess, and our best guess is just about as good as anybody else's, because at the end of the day, you have a better chance of making two different professional sports and getting struck by lightning two separate times than you do of having a perfect bracket. That being said, we still try.
Before we go, because I just love March Madness so much, let's talk about just very quickly, what are some of the most memorable shots in March Madness?
Wow. Well, first I'll thing start, that comes I'll, to my mind. Oh, okay. No, Mark, go ahead.
The first one that comes to my mind, I wasn't alive for it, but just the Elite Eight, Kentucky Duke in the 90s, Christian Laettner hitting the turnaround jump shot. That to me is such an iconic shot. That was their second championship in Leitner's tenure there. And to me, that is such an iconic moment, because this goes back to this idea of keys in March Madness. Always guard the inbounder.
Yes.
They let Duke throw the ball the length of the court. You got 6'10", 6'11", Christian Laettner catching the ball above people who are definitely not as tall as him, having the chance to take a dribble and do a turnaround jump shot. And you have probably the best college basketball player of all time draining it in your face and sending Kentucky home. To me, little Duke fan bias. Mm-hmm. And trust me, I know everyone hates Duke, but my aunt went there. So to me, that's why I like Duke. That's why I think that is one of the best shots of all time. Definitely had a lasting impact. Solidified Coach K is one of the best coaches of all time.
Oh, yeah. Solidified Christian Laettner is probably the best college basketball player of all time, which is hilarious.
Everybody hates Duke for a reason.
And everybody hates Christian Laettner.
Everybody hates Christian Laettner.
No, that's absolutely a great, famous shot. The first shot that comes to my mind, however, it's got to be Cardiac Kemba. just the idea of the guy taking over, doing everything on his own. That's kind of what March Madness comes down to at times for teams that really are just, we have a guy that hits shots. That's exactly what it was, the gorgeous step back. And to me, it was just kind of the start of this era of high-level guard play, fast-paced, small ball type stuff. It's kind of where it all started to pick up. Kemba changed the game with that step back, with that shot-making ability. Man, crazy, crazy, crazy. A UConn winning two championships within the span of 5 years. Nuts all on its own.
Yeah, that the shot itself, like the one against Pitt, was in their Big East tournament. But that, to me, is one of the prettiest shots and step backs I've ever seen. Like, it is so fluid and so smooth. The fact he had a big man guarding him off the switch was just hilarious, too. Another one that comes to mind, and I know it didn't go in, but the end of the, I forget, 2012 championship, it's Duke Butler. Gordon Hayward's half-court heave that was inches from going in.
That would have been awesome.
While that shot didn't go in and didn't give Butler the W for Brad Stevens, to me, that's sort of the beauty of March Madness. It gives you those mini heart attacks, and anything can literally happen. You have a blue blood like Duke playing a pretty young and upcoming team like Butler, who usually most of their players will go 4 years rather than Duke is kind of a one and done school. And you have this guy, Gordon Hayward, who's relatively unknown at the time, almost seal the fate of one of the best college basketball teams of all time with just a half court desperation heave. Would have been one of the best shots of all time if it went in, but
might have been the best shot of all time, honestly.
It's up there.
Yeah, no. All right. We're mentioning the great, great buzzer beater type shots. I think you have to bring up that recent UNC Nova championship. So the way it went down, I don't remember the exact timing on the clock, but so Marcus Page of UNC, with probably like 2 seconds left, 4 seconds left, just heaves a 30-foot three, bangs it.
That in itself is one of the best shots of all time. Exactly. The problem is what happened next just gets rid of it.
So what happens next, about 4 seconds on the clock, they're like, we can get a little better than a half-court heave. So Ryan Arcidiacono for Villanova brings the ball up, dribbles right down center court, just dump handoff pass right behind him to what I think it was Michael Jenkins, rises up from a step in front of the logo, and the rest is history. He drains it. Nova, if I'm not mistaken, that would be the first of back-to-back national championships.
There was a year off because they lost to Wisconsin next year, but yeah, two championships in 3 years, super impressive. Also solidified Jay Wright and Nova as a legit program because they hadn't won since, I believe, the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Trey Burke.
That was the other one. I mean, it was that incredible emphatic run that I guess in the year now there is no national champion for, 2013. Trey Burke just rising up from basically the logo and draining a shot. What was that? The Elite Eight to defeat the one seed. Was that Nova?
I remember Kansas for some reason.
I think, no, it was Kansas. That's right.
Yeah.
No,
okay. Right.
Yeah, no, one of the crazy shots. That Michigan team, by the way, 8 NBA players were on that team.
Yeah, that run was absolutely nuts, and it seemed like Trey Burke literally could shoot from wherever on the floor and make it. Anything else? I'm trying to think of some other moments. I mean, we got to talk about NC State beating Houston.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The great, that is my favorite college basketball story of all time, is Jim Valvano. This Houston team, Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Sam Young, 3 Hall of Fame NBA players, no NBA players on NC State, and an amazing buzzer beater, an airballed 3, a putback. If you haven't seen the 30 for 30 on that NC State run, absolutely go watch it. Fi slam a jamma, upset. Who would have thought?
The greatest airball of all time, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Led to a nice dunk.
This Houston team. This Houston team is probably the best team we've seen since Phi Slamma Jamma.
Probably. But other than that, I think that is it. To anyone listening, definitely sign up for Viget. They're literally giving away free money. It is costing you not signing up. Make sure to use our promo code ALLSTARS. We'll be doing stuff for March Madness. Maybe we'll do a bracket challenge. We'll kind of have to figure that out over on ESPN. We wish we could do it, pen and paper. We love that. That was sort of the vibe Robbie and I used to always do in high school.
But grading these brackets are the best.
Yeah, 100%. But other than that, I hope this was useful for people listening. It was definitely a lot of fun to talk through. It's always fun with March Madness to just give our random crazy predictions. Robbie and I will not be 100% correct, no matter how smart or how dumb you think we are. We will get some matchups right, I promise you that. But 100% I will not guarantee, because it literally has never happened. But we will be back with probably some recaps coming on Monday. Until then, though, enjoy March Madness. Seriously, it's a great time. We're happy it's back. It's been too long.
Yeah, no, this is, again, like I'm going to keep saying, the best time of year for college basketball, for betting fans, for anybody who just wants to get in the spirits of athletics. This is the place to be. Yes, we hope you found this little report here and bracketology session helpful and useful in any ways. We talk about how it's almost impossible to get a perfect bracket. I wonder how many times people have gotten every single first round matchup wrong, because I have to assume never, in the sense of who picks all 16 seeds to win. But, you know, that'd be kind of funny, because I feel like that's just as impossible, because that would be the human aspect of it, just being like, we're going to try this.
I feel like it's pretty hard to get all of the entire matchups wrong. The best recorded bracket, this is just the last fun fact before we go, I believe some guy got 49 straight matchups right. So extended into the second round, you lose eventually. That's at least in recorded time. I'm sure someone has a perfect bracket out there. You know, that
if I'm not wrong, that team that lost that guy the perfect bracket was D'Angelo Russell's Ohio State team, right?
I can't confirm or deny that, but that sounds about right, because that Ohio State team was really hit or miss.
It was like a random D'Lo team. They weren't that highly rated, but he had them in like the final four. So when I saw that matchup when he was about to lose, I was like, oh, he wasn't going to have a perfect bracket anyway.
You just know he's doomed. And he's like, uh-oh. Yeah.
All right. But again, thank you guys for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this section, or this emergency episode and special episode for the March Madness pools. I wish you guys luck, and hope you do well in your bracket pools, win lots of money, have a great time with your buddies. Most importantly, I think at this point, just go Illinois so I can win money. But yeah, awesome stuff. And we will be back next week with a full episode among all sports, including college basketball as well, of course.
Go Houston.
Until then, hope this does well for you guys.